Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in 1 Samuel 1, the first 18 verses. 1 Samuel 1, verses 1 through 18. Let us sing from Psalter 69, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 7. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord. Try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. 1, 3, 4, and 7 of Psalter 69.
Thank you. We repeat, scripture reading will be from the first book of Samuel, beginning with verse 1 to 18. But first we will read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Samuel 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramath Sophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroboam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tophu, the son of Zaph, an Ephratite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. And unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversaries also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And so he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the Lord for his help and blessing. Almighty, all-knowing and all-sufficient Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to draw nigh to thee in the beginning, in the morning hour of thy holy day. Thou knowest we have come up unto thy house. Thou knowest whether there are those also that are not able to come up. Wilt thou remember us together? For we may read for a moment of those crosses and that thou dost bring in the life of a man, of a woman, of a child. And thou knowest how that we need them, because else we do not learn the shortness of our life. Else we do not understand the vanity of our life, the carnality, and that we go to our long home without those crosses, inwardly, outwardly, spiritually, temporally, then we do not understand the plague of our heart and what lives there, because there is in us no agreement with thy ways, with thy will. But we by nature raise our fist against thee, that thou may bless the ways wherein thou dost lead men in this world, each one in the crosses that are laid upon us. Thou knowest where that they are in the midst of us as a flock. Then we may not know, and thou dost know. And we can read of her that had no child. And thou knowest that those burdens also that are laid upon those in the midst of us. wilt thou remember in thy mercy? And wilt thou supply from above and give that place that thou gavest unto a Hannah of old? Lord, that thou may remember each one of us in this way, how shall we learn to pray? Oh, that thou may teach us to pray, and that thou may show to us who we are, that thou may work in us that need that drives us and that draws us to thy throne of grace. Because otherwise we go over this world without a care, without a concern, young and old together. Oh, we are of hearts that do not understand. Lord, we ask of thee true conversion. Oh, we ask of thee in this thy holy day a little measure of thy Holy Spirit, that thou may yet touch us with thy finger, that thou may come in this morning to point out to us what we are in thy holy sight, and that we have from our side left thee days without number, and that we have from ourselves no intention to return, no desire for thee, that we are dead in sins and in trespasses, and that we are lying among those that rebel against thee. O Lord, convert us then unto thee, and grant to us what thou sayest that we stand in need of, that we may be born again, and that we may receive a new life, a life that hungers and that thirsts after spiritual things, a life that is burdened because of sin, a life wherein we are not able to continue on in that way in which we have been born, but that stands in need of thee. O Lord, grant that amongst young and old, to whom else can we go but unto thee? For thou sittest upon thy throne, and thou art able to give unto us what we cannot give unto ourselves. And then we must acknowledge, though that we have been created with an ability, that we have lost that ability, and that we can only look up unto thee, who hast all the power in heaven and in earth. Lord, we beseech thee to remember us with all our children, grandchildren, parents, families, and our loved ones. Oh, that thou would take us by heart and by hand, and wilt thou lead us upon through that straight gate and upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Instruct thou thy children. Oh, give them that place by thee. Grant them a further instruction upon that journey unto eternity, and that thou may lead them in those paths that they know not, that they may learn to follow, that they may not have within themselves that will that is in rebellion against thee and against all thy dealings. But wilt thou make them to be as a little child, that thou may take them by the hand, and that thou may so lead them through this world, and that day by day they may be given that ability to say, in all things thy will be done. Wilt thou stop men, women, and children upon that broad way? Lord, then we dwell in a city of vanity, a vanity fair, and our hearts are so inclined as so to stay, to remain there, to waste away the days of our life, also our youth. Oh, do grant eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. Remember all those that are afflicted and those that are in great need. The crosses are many. The crosses are varied. Thou knowest each heart that must bear its own burden, that thou may be near and dear in thy mercy, and that thou may remember thy servant also who is not able to bring thy word this day. In our sister congregation, thou knowest all the affliction of his body. And then it goes not forward in a way that he would desire. Lord, we ask of thee, thy help from above to heal him in his body, and that he may be able again to take up the work of his hands in due time. And thou settest him aside for this moment. Wilt thou grant him also a blessing from above? Wilt thou feed his soul that he also may be able to feed his flock? Wilt thou look upon all thy truly sent servants, increase their number? And wilt thou supply for the students and for all those study, wilt thou grant an increase in the knowledge of thee among those who must bring thy word? Lord, thou knowest our foolishness. Then we stand in need of that wisdom from above, but also of that grace in a rich measure, and that we may be able to bring forth things new and old out of thy law. That we may be able also to enter in unto the troubles of thy church. That we may be able to bring out that comfort of thy word. That we may be able to speak comfortably unto thy Zion, thy Jerusalem. Wilt thou remember her that still lies in the hospital? Wilt thou remember her for the body? Increase her strength. The time is so long. But Lord, that thou may remember her in that place also in this day. And could it please thee to bless the efforts of doctors and nurses together for her healing once again? Wilt thou so bless us as a congregation? Oh, how can it be that we ask of thee a blessing? Lord, thou knowest our lives. Lord, could it please thee to look upon us in and through thy only begotten Son? Oh, do separate us for a little moment in this morning. Thou knowest, Lord, all our hearts. We are so vain. Oh, convert us, lead us into all thy truth. And may it be that in this morning we may be separated just for a moment from all the cares and from all the concerns of the time, all that does burden our heart in this world, and that we may be given to see something of that treasure, of that blessedness of the people of the Lord, and that there may be a cry that is living in the heart of many, a holy jealousy born there, that we may be partakers of those blessings wherewith thou dost bless thy children. Look upon us and give us freedom as thy servant to bring thy word this morning, that we may receive the strength in our body, that we may receive the grace in our heart, and that we may receive a heart that burns with love, with need. and that we may receive also the words upon our lips to bring it in a simple way, and that also the children and the youth may be given an understanding heart by Thee. And do forgive and take away all of our many sins. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 327, all stanzas. Lord, Thy word to me remember, and Thou hast made me hope in Thee. This my comfort in affliction, that Thy word hath quickened me. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Psalter 327, all stanzas. Beloved congregation, we read in God's word that the publican went down to his house justified. That is something. That was upon what? That was upon just a simple prayer. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Thus, that man experienced something there. That man left that place so different than he came. That was a moment that man may experience something. And that was a moment that he will never forget in his life. That is a moment that he may receive something from heaven. And that he may experience a little of that blessed communion with the Lord. And that made such a great effect and impression in his heart and in his life. James says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And often that is in the way of intercession, if we think about Elijah and that Shunammite woman. How different that it was, both before and after. But then it is also sometimes so in a personal way. Because how different that was for the prodigal son. Before that he came to his father. And after that he may meet with him, then those are moments in the life of God's children that they would not want to trade for this whole world. Do we also know something of such a moment in our life? We wish with the help of the Lord to consider this out of the words of our text this morning. From 1 Samuel 1, thereof the 10th verse. 1 Samuel 1, verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. So far the words of our text. Hannah's petition. First, the cause of this petition. Second, the substance of this petition. And third, the fruit of this petition. Hannah's petition, its cause, its substance, and its fruit. In this chapter, congregation, we read about the birth of Samuel, who was the father of Samuel, boys and girls. Then we can read it here. The father of Samuel was Elkanah. Elkanah was from, we read here, Ramathaim Zophim. Or sometimes you read that Samuel, he went to his house in Ramah. Ramathaim Zophim, that is actually Ramah, or the two Ramahs, the upper and the lower. Ramah. Elkanah, he is a descendant of Kohath, thus a son of Levi. But we read here that Elkanah, he is an Ephraimite. How is it possible? And then that it says that Elkanah is an Ephraimite. And then he was actually a Levite. Well, we know, children, that the Levites, they did not all live in one place. They were just like today, the ministers. And then the ministers, they go live all in different places that they may bring the word of God. And so that was also in that time with the Levites. And they were living in all different tribes of the children of Israel. And this Elkanah, he was living among the tribe of Ephraim. And that's why he is actually called here an Ephraimite. Thus Samuel, who is the son then of Elkanah, Samuel, he is actually a Levite. He is from that priestly tribe. But we know that Samuel, he was also a very great reformer in the amongst the Israelites. But that reformation, that work of reformation, that was not lying in his descent from the tribe of Levi, but actually that was lying in the calling that he had to be a prophet of the Lord. Thus, prophets, they were not confined to a particular tribe, but a prophet was one who was called directly by the Lord and who was instructed by the Lord and who labored then more generally among that people. You say, well, his mother dedicated him, and that is true. All of the Levites were dedicated, but we see that Samuel was not dedicated in the same way as all of the rest of the Levites. Because the rest of the Levites, in a general way, were dedicated. They began that work in the service of the Lord at 30 years of age, and they labored there till they were 50 years of age. But Samuel, he is dedicated, we can read, as a Nazarite unto God. And then he has begun in that service of the Lord when he was already a child. And he has continued in that service of the Lord until he was an old man. Samuel was not only one of the tribe of Levi, and not only called to be a prophet of the Lord, but we can read that Samuel, he has godly parents. Thus, fathers and mothers, who are you bringing up in this world? What will be that office that perhaps your son may have to serve one day in the house of the Lord? Then we see what a great importance that upbringing is by a father and a mother in this world. As we can read that also of these parents, Elkanah, we read he went up yearly unto service of the Lord. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Thus, it was a time of great declension. And yet, we read that Elkanah, he goes anyway because it does not depend on the servant of the Lord, but he is looking for the blessing of the Lord. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. That was, congregation, the burden of Hannah. She had no child. And what do we read? We read, the Lord had shut up her womb. Who opens and who closes the womb? That is not man, but that is the Lord Himself. As that sovereign God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, a man today wants to take this in his own hands. So we can read of Onan, who tried also to take that in his own hands, and the Lord, we read, slew him, because the Lord says, that is my own prerogative to open and to close that womb. And those evil practices, they can come so easily in the church also, that we also are affected with the ideas that are in this world, and that we think also to have control over our own family, the opening and the closing of that womb. What does the psalmist say? He says that that fruit of the womb, that is his reward. It is the reward of the Lord, that is the reward from heaven. Every one of those children or parents, how is it with us? Because we know there can also be many fears. Because we say that is so very expensive, maybe, fathers. And when it is maybe difficult to bring everything together, mothers, that takes much energy. And then maybe there is a temptation to go that way of the Lord. But the Lord, He is promising that help from above to walk in that way that He is showing unto us in this world. And then there are those also that are childless. That does not make your marriage to be void, because there is a fullness just between a man and his wife, but congregation, that can be for persons such a very, very great burden. And yet we can see in this chapter that it is not the only burden that is living in the heart of this Hannah. No, we see that burden goes deeper. And that burden actually is much higher than just that burden of not having a child of her own. Because that woman, we can see, she is burdened also with the condition of the children of Israel. Thus, there are people in the world, the people of the Lord, that often carry two burdens. They can be so burdened with the condition of the church of God that it is weighing them down in this world. But then their heart, that is not pointing fingers to anyone, because they have another burden, and that burden that is with themselves. That is a burden that is about the fruitlessness of their own life. And there is something that makes this burden so much heavier for Hannah. And what is that? That is Peninnah. Peninnah. She has much fruit. But congregation, there is no wonder in it. All the fruit that she has received just in a natural way. And with all that fruit, that woman has become proud. She has become haughty. And we can see that she envies that love and that Elkanah is giving unto Hannah. And that we read that she begins to provoke Hannah. We read she provokes her sore to make her fret. Oh, Satan. He will come in the life of God's children to take the burdens that they are already have to bear and make those burdens weigh down with such a weight as to bring that people completely to the ground. It was not enough for the devil when Job has everything taken away from him. But the devil will also touch his flesh. And if the Lord did not permit, the devil it would have cut him off altogether. What a misery there was in this family. And what is now the cause of that misery? Well, we know that Elkanah, he has two wives. And we heard something about that yesterday, young people. That is not according to the institution of the Lord, is it? And when we go against the institution of the Lord, and although we have heard they were times of ignorance that God winked at, still we can read of the troubles that have come in the lives of those also in the Old Testament that have gone against his institution. In the life of Abraham, in the life of Jacob, but also here in the life of Elkanah. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. That was a burden, congregation, that affected her, that affected her whole life. That was not just a superficial thing. No, that was a burden that weighed her down. So that now she is in a time where she should be joyful at one of those feasts of the Lord. And even in such a time, we read that this woman, she is not even able to eat. Elkanah tries to comfort her. He tries to bear her grief, to bear the burden of one another. So that is the task of Elkanah as a husband. We read he gives to her a worthy portion. That is in that feast and the first portion that goes to the priest. And now in the life of Elkanah, he says, Hannah, the second portion that is for you. And therein he shows that love unto his wife. That is a love congregation that is despite her shortcomings. That woman, as she has no fruit, she brings forth to Elkanah no child. And yet he is showing to her this great love. Oh, that speaks, husbands, about the way that we are also to deal in this world. Then Elkanah said unto her, her husband said unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? What does Paul say? Husbands, love your wives. He says, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And what do we read of the Lord Jesus himself? We read that Christ loved his church. Husbands, therefore, love your wives as Christ has loved his church and he gave himself for it. Thus, a love, despite what that church is, despite the fruitlessness, day by day, under which that people, they go over this world, bringing forth in their own estimation nothing that is acceptable with God. And yet the love that the Lord is showing unto his church, read Song of Solomon 7 when you come home. And then that bridegroom is speaking of that bride, and what he is to her. And that is such a wonder in the life of that bride. Oh, then she says, my beloved is mine, and his desire is toward me. And then how that is a comfort in the life of God's children, when they may feel something of despite all who they are and remain, and that what that delight, the desire of Christ, that is by moments that they feel as still to be toward them. Hannah eats. She does not desire to overburden her husband, but Elkanah cannot help her. Do you understand that? There are burdens. There are certain burdens in this world. And that though we love one another so deeply, there are certain burdens in this world that we are not able to help one another with. They are burdens in this life, but they are burdens also for another life. That a man, that a woman, they can stand so helpless next to those whom they love. And then they can express themselves by times, by moments. But then there is nothing that they are able to do for them. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that woman that finds now a place. That place that Hannah may find. We see that in our second thought. The substance of Hannah's position. Where does Hannah go? We read that Hannah goes to the temple of the Lord. That is congregation, not actually the temple that was not built at that time. But it was the tabernacle of the Lord. It is called the temple of the Lord. And in the original, actually, the word means the palace of Jehovah. That is the place now. And that Hannah goes. When she experiences the helplessness that there is even from her husband, then Hannah arises and she takes her burden somewhere else. That was a special place. Because it was a beautiful building? No. We have such a beautiful building. But that was such a special place for Hannah, because it was the palace of Jehovah, because that was the place where the Lord dwelt. O congregation, do you ever feel that? Or is this place for you? Does it ever become to you the palace of Jehovah? And because the Lord says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And that is now where Hannah goes. And she goes to that place to weep her heart out. She goes to that place, we read, in the bitterness of her soul. Did you ever come here so in the bitterness of your soul? And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Oh, did you ever come here to the house of the Lord in such a way, with a burden, with a temporal burden, with a spiritual burden, with a need that was living in your heart? Did you ever come there and sit in your place there and see no one, to see no man, to see no woman, but only to feel that you have come in the palace of Jehovah, and that you have come before the presence, before the face, before the countenance of the Lord? Oh, were you ever given to receive that place in the house of the Lord, to do what Hannah did? In bitterness of soul, to pray unto the Lord and to weep sore? Or were you ever given a little bit of freedom to lay it all out now and to say, Lord, here is my life. Lord, here is my heart. Lord, here is my sin. But Lord, here is also my need. Here is now my burden. Oh Lord, I cannot do without thee. Lord, it is barren. Lord, there is nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing. Could you ever come here? And could you ever show the Lord all the mocking of the devil and what he says to your heart, how he mocks with you and he provokes you sore to make you fret, and that you have nothing that you are able to say against him? And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Congregation, she vowed. She vowed a vow unto the Lord. And that is such a solemn matter. We read more often of vows in the Word of God. We read also that it can be that we make a rash vow. But those vows, they belong unto the godly. And we don't actually hear only of one person here that made a vow. But we read of two. Because later on in this chapter, we read of Elkanah, that he is going to return. That is to bring his sacrifice unto the Lord. And he is going to return to pay his vow. Congregation. We have here two persons. They are married. Young people. They are married. They have a bond of holy matrimony. Oh, we read of two other persons in the Word of God. An Ananias and a Sapphira. They were also married. They had much in this world. And they agreed together in an evil thing. And now we read just the opposite. We read of two persons, Elkanah and Hannah. And there may be between these two persons not only a natural bond, but there is between them a spiritual bond. Oh, there is unity not only of life, not only of mind, but there is unity of heart. There is unity of heart in the things of the Lord. They are two persons that go over this world with one burden. They are two persons that go over this world with one sorrow. They are two persons that have agreed together to make a vow unto the Lord. Will you pray, young people? Will you pray to the God heaven and of earth to give you such a marriage, to give you such a wife, to give you such a husband, that you may so agree together in the deepest things that are living in the heart of a man in this world? What is their vow? To dedicate a man-child unto the Lord all the days of his life. Thus he will be not only a Levite, but he will be a Nazarite unto God. And now, congregation, we see something. We see something of the evidence. The evidence that this woman, that she is not just praying for a child. Here we see evidence that this woman, she mourns for the condition of the church of God. Because we can read that those two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they are there. And still they are coming up unto that house of the Lord. Hannah, she does not desire this child for her flesh. No, she is not desiring this child that she may enjoy this child in the world. Do you know why she desires that child? She desires a man child of the Lord for the sake of the people of the Lord. She desires a man-child of the Lord because of the desolation of the house of the Lord. O congregation, then it is no selfish desire, but it is a desire that is going over that whole church of God, Hannah. She is one of that remnant that is sighing and that is crying for the abominations that are done in that land. Is that also our life? Let us sing. 32, 1 and 3. Lord, hear the right. Regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. Send thy approval from on high, my righteousness make clear. Thou in the night my heart has tried, nor found it turned from thee aside. 1 and 3 of 32. Our last thought, the fruit of Hannah's petition. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Congregation, Eli, that was a God-fearing man. But Eli was not as watchful as he ought to have been. We know that he reproved his sons, but that he did not restrain his sons. And now he also lacks the discernment concerning one of God's own children. He lacks the discernment to see and that this woman, she is lying there with a great burden. What a great responsibility that an office bearer has. Then how much need is there for prayer and supplication for the office bearers within the church of God? that they are given wisdom, that they are given grace, that they are given discernment, especially concerning the true church, and that they are able to feed indeed that flock of God. Eli reproves Hannah, and that is a woman that is already carrying such a great burden. And thus the servant of the Lord, then he pours as it were vinegar into the wounds of Hannah. What an awful thing to be innocently condemned, to receive accusations in your innocence. But that is a church that has to follow the footsteps of Christ, who was innocently condemned to death. Of Christ, of course, we read that he opened not his mouth. Why not? Well, because those accusations, they had to bring him to the cross, and that price may be paid for his church. But what now do we read of Hannah? We read that Hannah does open her mouth. We read she says to Eli, "Nay, my Lord." She says, "No, my Lord, what you are saying, that is not true." Thus she defends herself. Is that wrong of Hannah? Oh, you hear the respect with which she speaks. No, that is not wrong of Hannah. But Hannah does not desire to stand under the censers of God's people, under the censers of the godly. If there is anyone to whom a little wine may be allowed, it was to Hannah. Because Solomon says, "Give wine to those who are of an heavy heart." And Hannah was a woman of an heavy heart. But Hannah has not touched one drop of wine. And now she did not wish that God's servant, and she did not wish that the godly would think that she was a daughter of Belial. Oh, young people, we read in God's word that a good name that is better than riches. Oh, what do you now do with your life in this world? How do you wish also to be regarded by the true church of God? Or is that not important to you? How do you wish to be regarded above all by the Lord himself? But the Lord knows all. The church knows not everything, as we can read here. And so Hannah, she says, "Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Later, in the Song of Hannah, and then we can see again more clearly that Hannah, she is actually coming to the defense of the true people of God. She is actually coming to the defense of the afflicted remnant of the Lord that have to experience sometimes one trial upon another in this world, in a natural way, in a spiritual way. And then there are the accusations within from the devil. Oh, there are the accusations, also the mocking of the enemies that are from without, and sometimes even from God's people themselves, that are in those moments standing a little bit too high. Then Eli, we read, he answered and said, "Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Oh, Eli did not do that purposely. That was not in his heart to do. No, he has made a great mistake. And when he sees that mistake, then he is ready to take that back again. And he blesses her. In the name of the Lord, as that high priest, he had the authority to do. And then he is wishing for her that she also may receive that petition. No doubt that he is asking the Lord also for her. He doesn't even know what her petition is yet. But by those few words that Hannah has spoken, Eli perceives that this is one of that afflicted remnant of the Lord. Because she does not speak about high things. She does not speak about great things. But he can see that this is here a sorrowing soul. And then he receives freedom also from the Lord to give her an encouragement and to say, "Go in peace." And then what do we read? So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Oh, congregation, how different this woman leaves than the way that she had come. No more sad. What a contrast. When we read that she wept, when we read she was in bitterness of soul, when we read that she was of a sorrowful spirit, and now, no more sad. How is that? Has she now received what she has asked for? Has she now received her child? Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And yet, no more sad. How can that be? There is only one way that can be, and that is by faith. What does Paul say faith is? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. And now that's that Hannah. Those things are not seen yet. And yet she has evidence of them. Where is that evidence? That evidence is living in her heart. She has gone down with a burden. And she has risen up. And there was no more burden. Her countenance no more sad outwardly. Externally, physically, there is nothing. But in her heart, there is rest. There is peace. And Hannah may believe that the Lord will take up her case for her. And her countenance was no more sad. Congregation, do you know who cannot grieve her anymore? Who do you think, children? Who do you think cannot grieve her anymore? Peninnah? Let us think for a moment. What must have gone on in the heart of that woman? She sees Hannah again. She tries to provoke her. To provoke her sore, to make her fret. She tries what she has tried before and doesn't work. How bewildered she must have been. How she must have thought what has happened to Hannah. That her countenance that is no more sad, when nothing has changed. And you know that Peninnah, she cannot enter into what Hannah has. She cannot come there. Because congregation, that is not for the reprobate. It is a secret of the people of the Lord. And that there is no man in this world that is able to enter into that secret. There is a time when the devil cannot touch God's people. He cannot touch them. The devil can be so angry, so that he is, as we mentioned Job, that he is only increasing and increasing that burden. But he cannot win, because that people are kept. They are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, O congregation. Do you know what we read in God's word? Blessed is the man that thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Did the Lord ever give you, even as a Hannah, that you may also approach unto him? What is now all the world in comparison to this? In comparison to one moment that we may be permitted to approach unto God. One moment that we may be given to receive a little something from the Lord of hosts. Do you know there is still a people that are mocked in this world? There is still a people that are mocked because of their fruitlessness. There is still a people that are mocked because they have nothing. But that people, they also are given by moments a secret place. Do you know what the Lord said to Moses? He says, there is a place by me. There is a place by me. May we ever find that place? Because that is a people with a sorrow. Congregation, that sorrow is necessary in our life. If we have not those sorrows and we have not those afflictions, then we do not learn the vanity of this life. When we have not those sorrows and we have not those afflictions, then we do not learn the sinfulness of our hearts. Then we do not learn that our will that is in rebellion against the Lord, and that we do not agree with the Lord. All that is a people, they know what that sorrow is. But by moments, they are also given that place. That place by the Lord, that they may unburden that sorrow. And that they may believe that the Lord, he will take up their case. That is now a moment that the devil cannot touch them. No one can touch them in that moment. That is now a moment that they experience a little bit of heaven. They taste something of what that will be when one day there will be a gulf fixed between them and all their enemies. Congregation, seek it while it still can be found. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest our hearts also in this morning hour. Thou knowest how that we have come up. Thou knowest that word that it has pleased thee to give us to try to bring in this morning. Thou knowest why. Wilt thou bless thy own word? Wilt thou give fruit upon it? And wilt thou forgive all that is amiss and sinful before thee? And wilt thou give young and old, none without concerns, none without burdens, one heavier than another, give young and old that place before thee? We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 3:12, 1, 2, 4, and 6. I love the Lord who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. 1, 2, 4, and 6 of 312. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.